father was, he had had several heart attacks. He had adult onset diabetes, and he had lost both of his legs. And Kathy and I had just gotten married, and he wasn't able to attend the wedding. And so we went to my grandparents' home, and we played the video of the wedding for my grandfather. And one of the songs in the video, or in our wedding, "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us." And my grandfather was kind of an opera singer. He loved to sing. I'll never forget these last words. He was singing along. He wasn't all the way there, but when that song came on, he started singing that song. And last words are important. I remember my grandfather saying that, singing along with that song. And soon after he passed. But here are the last words of Jesus to his disciples before he ascended. Listen to these words. Matthew 28, verse 18. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Incredible words, an incredible challenge for all of us this morning. Chris and Julie, when they showed up at our church in Michigan, at our church plant, the marriage was almost over. She had been leaving advertisements from the newspaper about apartments with them circled, where perhaps maybe he could get the clue that it's time for you to move out. And she was done. He had been obsessed with music. He's kind of a DJ guy. Matter of fact, he spun discs for one of the biggest nightclubs in the Kalamazoo, Michigan area, right next to Western Michigan University. And he spent all their money on new equipment so it'd be louder, it'd be cooler, it'd be more awesome, and more music. And he was just devoted to that, being out night after night doing weddings and whatever else. And he's just so obsessed and so lost. She had it trying to raise two kids by herself, really. And he had remembered his grandparents who had followed Christ, and he thought maybe the thing he could do to save his marriage is maybe we should go to church. And about a year ago, he had received an outreach card from our church. Top 10 reasons why people don't go to church, you know. It's kind of a humorous thing, like, you know, I can't find my leisure suit, stuff like that. And they remembered that card they received over a year ago. And he said, "Hey, well, why don't we go to church this Sunday?" And it turned out that there was a church right across the street from them. And so they drove in the parking lot and realized that church had already started at the church they were going to try to go to that was right across the street from their house. And they didn't want to walk in and be singled out and be embarrassed about walking in there. So they thought, well, remember that card we got? Let's go. They seem like fun. Let's go to that church. So they came to Cherry Creek Community Church for the first time. And they walked in. We had a pretty awesome praise band that was rocking the place. And remember, he's a music dude, right? He's a music guy. After the service, he came up to me and he said, "Hey, boy, I really enjoyed the music here and your message. And, you know, is there a way I could get involved with the music?" I said, "Absolutely. We'd love for you to be a part of what's going on here." Again, I had no idea who he was or what he was about, only to discover that he was the West Michigan area Budweiser distributor. And he wants to be on my praise band. And I don't even know if he knows Jesus, right? Would we as a church be able to take Chris and Julie? Would we be able to take them and disciple them? would we be able to show them who Christ is to such an extent that they would grow in their faith and then be determined to give their lives to him in service? That remained to be seen. And so it is for all of us here as a church. Again, we were longing for them not to just pray a prayer or sign a card or to come to a place where they would just have a place to go, but a place to grow. There are many churches that have become ineffective in their ministry, beloved, as they have lost their vision and mission. But the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing, by God's grace, is to make disciples who make disciples for the glory of God. Our mission is to make disciples. Our motive is love. God's chosen method of disciple making is through the church of Jesus Christ. It's time for all of us to get into the game. Our mission at Bethel is to make disciples who make disciples of Jesus Christ to the glory of God. That's who we are. That's what we're about here. Much of what we're going to see today comes from a guy by the name of Dan Spader. Dan Spader was a student at Moody Bible Institute. And as a student, learning to be a youth pastor, he realized from his professors as they were teaching him that many of the disciples were young men, perhaps some of them even teenagers. And the idea that he heard was, well, wow, if I'm going to be a youth pastor and Jesus was really overseeing a youth group, maybe I should learn how Jesus did ministry. And if I can learn how Jesus did ministry, then maybe that's how I should do ministry. And I'm like, maybe, let's just throw that further from what Dan is saying. Maybe as a church, maybe we can learn about how Jesus did ministry to such a degree that we would do ministry the same way here, based on these last words that we just heard in Matthew 28. Well, before we tear this apart and dive into this, let's ask God's help. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we need your help to understand your truth and to know what it is you have for us today. Oh, teach us, we pray, by your grace. Help us to not miss anything you have for us, knowing full well that there's no one here by accident, but by your sovereign hand we are gathered for your purposes. So have your way with us, we ask. Lord, open your word to us and open our hearts and our minds to hear your truth by the power of your Spirit. We pray all this in your Son's wonderful and awesome name this morning. Amen. If you have your sermon notes outlined from the program you received, here's the first truth for you this morning. Our mission is to make disciples. Our mission is to make disciples. And what we're looking at here in Matthew 28 is what's known as the Great Commission, where Jesus himself personally commissioned all the disciples to go and make disciples. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. And in this passage, we see really one major imperative command. What is it? What's the command in Matthew 28? Yeah, everybody says go, and I'm sorry, you're wrong. That the go is the participial phrase. There's actually three participles, ing words, in this passage. The actual imperative from the Greek text in the original is make disciples. Y'all, make disciples is the idea. Go make disciples. The one imperative surrounded by three participial phrases. Go, or as you are going, make disciples. And Jesus modeled the seeking of the lost and winning them to himself as he went along in his ministry, constantly engaging people, whether it's Nicodemus or the woman at the well or someone asking a question in the crowd. He was constantly drawing people to himself and ultimately to the Father. Baptizing, did you see that in the passage? Baptizing them. To bring people to a place of baptism is to bring people to a place of identifying themselves with who Christ is. In his death, burial, and resurrection, as we go under the water, dying to our old selves and coming out of the water, demonstrating new life in Christ. To bring people to identify with who Jesus is for their own life, building them up in their faith. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. We all need to be built up in our faith as we come to Christ, having been won to Christ. And then teaching, the third participial phrase, teaching them to observe, to obey, if you will. This is to equip believers with the truths of the gospel, to now take it to others in their sphere of influence, out into the community, out into the world. Some general observations here from what we have in Matthew 28. Our mission is clear. This is not complicated. Our mission is clear. People ask, well, I wonder what the church is about. It's about making disciples. That's what we should be about. And by the way, if you have a really neat ministry thing you want to do, and you come to me and you go, I want to do this cool ministry thing, but I'm running it through a filter right now. Well, is this a winning thing? Is this a building thing? Or is it an equipping thing? And if it's none of that, then I'm not about it. I'm not doing it. Okay? If it's about winning, building, and equipping, making disciples, I'm all over it. If you cut me, you guys, this is what I bleed. This is who I am. Our mission is clear. We are to glorify God by making disciples. Secondly, did you see this? Wrapped around our mission is the promise of Christ's active presence. Did you see that in the passage? He says, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Oh, praise God for that. That he doesn't say, hey, go do that thing and then, you know, come back later. No, I'm going to go with you in it. We're not alone as we share the gospel with those in our sphere of influence, to the coworker, to our neighbor, to our family member. Thirdly here, a third general observation, a healthy church is not necessarily a big or busy church. It's not my goal to build the hugest, biggest thing. It's not my goal to make everybody super crazy busy. That's not the goal. The goal, are we making disciples? The real power of a church is in its sending power. Who are we sending out to make disciples? And have we brought them to that place where they're identifying with Christ? They've been equipped to do ministry, and they're now being sent out to win all the more. Fourthly here, a healthy church is one that is regularly winning people to Christ, building them up in their faith, and equipping them to reach others. I had an elder this morning come and tell me about someone who put their faith and trust in Christ this weekend. And that just thrills my soul, because that's what we're about. Making disciples who make disciples. Our mission is to make disciples. Secondly, why are we doing this? Our motive is love. Our motive is love. And now we go to the great commandment in Mark chapter 12. Take a look at Mark 12. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And so now we're in a scene where there's Jesus and the disciples and some religious zealots, some scribes come and start asking Jesus questions, again, trying to corner him. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Now notice what's going on here. This scribe, who's very well versed in the Old Testament, very well versed in the 10 words, the 10 commandments. For these Jewish zealots, the idea is, you know, there's no way we could keep all 10 of these. So maybe Jesus could tell us which is the most important one to keep. And maybe if I was about that, then maybe God would be impressed with me. And so this guy asks the question, which is the most important commandment? And Jesus answered in verse 29, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. A couple of things I want you to note here. There are not three commandments here. There are two. Some people go, yeah, so you need to love yourself. No, I'm sorry, that's not a third commandment. Actually, that's my biggest problem, is I love me way too much. If I take that same love and devotion that I have for myself and extend it to others, that would be awesome. That's what's being said here. Love God, love people. This is our motive. We are called to love God and to love others. Again, first of all here, our motive is clear. Love is our motive. Making disciples is our mission. We love because he first loved us, right? The only reason I'm up here doing what I do, I'm not trying to impress God or win plaques, points, and awards. The only reason I'm here doing what I do is because I am ridiculously thankful for who he is and what he's done for me. That's the only reason I'm here. And I'm longing for you to have the same, to receive the same grace and forgiveness that I've received, because I know I don't deserve it. And I'll go anywhere to share this message about who he is and what he has done. Our motive is clear. We love because he first loved us. Secondly, we can't say we love God yet not love people. Did you hear that? You can't say, oh, I love God, but I hate that guy next door. Or, boy, did they cut me off in traffic. I oughta. That's not you, is it? You're not that guy, are you? By the way, you know, we're new to Chicago, and I'm amazed at how upset people are just driving down the road. All kinds of gesticulations coming from people. We can't be that. We need to love people. You can't say you love God and then treat people horribly. Treat them with contempt. John writes in 1 John 4, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, ready? He is a liar. Whoa. Well, I love God, but I hate that guy. You're a liar because you don't get it. You don't really understand the gospel. If you understood to what degree you've been forgiven, you would be all over. You'd be falling over yourself forgiving everybody around you. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Do you love your brother? What are you doing about it? Our motive is clear. We can't say we love God and yet not love people. Thirdly here, our ultimate goal is the glory of God. This is what we're about. The goal isn't to fill churches or to make bigger programs. The ultimate goal is the glory of God. The greatest result and ultimate goal of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission is ultimately the glory of God. And even before going to the cross, Jesus said some amazing things in his high priestly prayer. If you can, turn to John chapter 16. I want you to see this. This is incredible. Jesus is at the end of his ministry in John chapter 16 and verse 28. And he says this incredible statement in verse 28 of John 16. He says, I came from the Father, guys. He's talking just to the 12 up in the upper room. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. Now, by the way, he said this many times already. But for whatever reason, finally the guys are like, oh, that's what you're doing. Watch, verse 29. His disciples said, oh, now you're speaking plainly and not using a figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. They finally get it. Listen to Jesus' response in verse 31. Did you see it? Jesus answered them, do you now believe? I mean, really? Do you finally get it? That's awesome. To such a degree now, he turns to the Lord in prayer. He goes, behold, the hour is coming, indeed has come, when you'll be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, you guys, I have overcome the world. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. glorify your Son that the Son may glorify you. You see, it's all about glorifying God. Since you've given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you've given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Stop right there. Wait a minute. Has Jesus gone to the cross yet? No. So what work is he referring to? He made disciples. Now, you guys get it? If he doesn't make 11 disciples, his going to the cross won't matter, right? There's no one to tell the story. And the only reason we know anything is because of these 11 guys who then went and changed the world. And by the way, except for John, all of them died in the process. One of my favorite truths, Thomas, the one who doubted the most, he went the furthest. He went all the way to Chennai, India, the southeast corner of India. The guy who doubted the most went the furthest. That blows my mind. This is so important. We need to understand what's at stake. Hearts and lives, families are in the balance. Our ultimate goal is the glory of God. John Piper says this very provocative statement. Listen closely. John Piper writes, missions exists because worship doesn't around the world. Think about that for a second. The reason mission exists, the mission of proclaiming the gospel around the world, the reason mission exists because worship of God doesn't exist around the world. So ultimately, the point of God's story is not missions, he says. It's not salvation. It's not families. It's not disciple making. The point of God's story is God. The most crucial issue in missions is the centrality of God in the life of the church. When all is said and done, we are not the point. God is. How awesome is that? About him, and that's what we need to be about, to bring others who will praise and worship God for who he is. Our mission is to make disciples. Our motive is love. Thirdly, this morning, God's chosen method is through the church. Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, encourages the church. In chapter 3, verse 10, he writes, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's through the church that this takes place. That the church is not the building. It's us. We the people of the church. God's people. It's through us that he builds his kingdom. I've asked this trick question many times of people. How many of you came to Christ because a missionary came to you? A missionary came to you and presented the gospel and you came to Christ. So how many, was that the case for you? A missionary came to you? Trick question. If you believe in Christ right now, then a missionary surely talked to you. Mine was my mom, right? We've all been spoken to by missionaries who came and shared the gospel with us. Right? So when I ask that question, how many hands should go up if you're in Christ? All of them. Yes. Let's try it again. How many were led to Christ by a missionary? Yes. Someone shared truth with you. And how many people are around you who don't know who he is, who need that same truth that you do? God's chosen method is through the church. First of all, here, the local church exists as God's chosen vehicle for helping believers make disciples. We as a church need to be helping each other in the process of making disciples. We shouldn't be making it difficult. We should be making it easier. Secondly, we must develop a balanced biblical ministry that encourages balanced biblical living. If we're so involved in church to such a degree that I can't engage the culture or the world, how am I going to be effective for Christ? On the other hand, there's many who aren't doing any, who come and listen to the message on Sunday, but they're not involved in anything. So we can have two extremes. You know, one who's doing everything and doesn't have time to touch the hearts of the world around them. Or you have the person who's not doing anything. We got to find the balance where we're growing, we're being built up in our faith, we're being equipped, we are being equipped to do ministry, and then we're sent out as we go, as we are going along in life, making disciples as best we can. God's chosen method is through the church. So how does this process look at Bethel? What is Bethel's disciple-making process? Well, there it is up on the board. Winning people to Christ, cultivating, planting, reaping, cultivating. That's when we start talking to other people, we start digging up the hard ground in a person's life so that we might be able to plant seeds of truth, seeds of the gospel, to such a degree that they come to a place where they put their faith and trust in Him. Now, through Bethel here, we've got all kinds of opportunities to do this. Outreach events that are regularly scheduled and missions outreach, right? Building. For the most part, building consists of four things: worship, the word, fellowship, and care, and prayer. Well, on Sunday mornings, we come and we worship, right? And so worship and the word, we're spending time in God's word today, so that happens on Sunday morning. But, you know, it's hard to get a lot of fellowship and a lot of prayer in, intimate prayer, in a Sunday morning, right? And the only way that can happen is in small groups, through our life groups, through the Sticky Church sermon text-based small groups, which we've initiated by way of our life groups here, even today as we kick off. You guys, we have 16 groups, 16 life groups. And if you're not in one, man, I encourage you to get in one so that you can be built up in your faith, so people can be praying for you, lifting you up, and you can also be an encouragement to them. See, we always think about this. When I'm not here, well, what did I miss? What did everybody else miss by your not being here? What about that dynamic? And then, of course, prayer and fellowship. This is the building component. Make sure you're engaged with all four of these things so that you're being built up in your faith. And then lastly here, equipping. We're equipped to share with our peers and equipped to take care of our peers. And this happens through our ABS classes on Sunday mornings, adult Bible studies, and through Bethel University, with specific training in terms of outreach or parenting and how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife. All that is a part of how we equip each other to do ministry in this world. So the only way we can do this is by three things. The only way we can execute this process is having leadership and staff committed to making disciples. And for Sean, Mark, Paul, and myself, and Adina and Corey, man, we are all about it. We want to make disciples for God's glory. Secondly, having a congregation that is committed to making disciples as well. Are you committed to making disciples as we are as a church? Thirdly, having the resources of time, talent, and treasure committed to making disciples. We need your time. We need your talent to participate in ministries. And we need your treasure. We need the financing to be able to do that. You know, over the summer, we've fallen behind substantially in our giving. That usually happens with a lot of churches over the summer. The odd thing that people don't realize is when you're on vacation, the church isn't, right? We're still ministering. And we still need resources to do it. Years ago, I was taught that don't give to the church, give to the ministries of the church. That's a lot more encouraging. When you give to the church, you are supporting a youth pastor who's making disciples of our students. You're supporting an Awana program that's discipling our little children. Give to the ministries of the church that we're accomplishing. And if you've fallen behind a little bit, man, get back on the horse. We need your help desperately. We want to do this from a strong financial position, not from, hey, we could use some help. So if you fell behind a little bit this summer, man, get back with it. If you can help to get things back online for us, man, make the difference. This is an incredibly giving church. I've seen it. It's been amazing. We've been, Kathy and I, our family, since we've been here, have been on the receiving end of it. There's a guy painting my house for free. What is that? That's ministry. I'm being ministered to by God's grace. This is how we need to love each other and care for each other, having the resources of time, talent, and treasure. And so I ask you this morning, are you ready to get in the game? Well, let's up the ante. I got a little slip. Did you see this little slip? Did you see it? Did you see it? There it is. Pull this out. Look at it. Get in the game. September, show the love of Christ. I have two opportunities for you. Number one, give a specialty coffee to your neighbor or coworker. Yeah, that might cost you $5. Or number two, bake some cookies or a pie for your neighbor. Now, I'm thinking if in your house, you got someone across the street, probably someone here, someone behind you. You've got a month to hit all four, okay? Make some cookies. Kathy and I, we did this where we just came from over in Angola, Indiana. And it just so happened that there were three Muslim students who had rented the house next to us. It was a really big house, a very nice house. They were Saudis, and it was a really nice house. They had very nice cars in the driveway. And, you know, we challenged our congregation there. And so we take the challenge too. And so, you know what, we made cookies. And my daughter Leah and I, we went over there and we presented the cookies. And next thing I know, there's all these faces at the door looking at us like, you know, who are you? Who's here at the door? We're giving cookies. And they were very thankful. So thankful that a few weeks later, they came to our house and they gave us a box of Saudi cookies. And they're awesome. Now, that wasn't the goal. The goal wasn't to get cookies out of people. But the interaction began. So give it a shot. Freak your coworkers out. So, you know, and then next week, bring this back for the next several weeks here. By the way, in October, we'll have another set for you to challenge you with. Bring this back next week, filled out. If you did three, then write three in the box. If you gave five coffees for the whole office, give five. And by the way, making, you know, cookies and pies for your Christian neighbor doesn't count. All right. All right. Get in the game. We have our ministry fair here in just a few minutes. So I encourage all of you, go up to the gym, grab a hot dog, some popcorn, some chips, and then get in the game. All of us need to be built up in our faith. We need to be a part of a life group. Kathy and I are kicking off a life group. We're meeting once a month. We've invited the young marrieds to join us. If you're under 30 and married, come to our house. We will feed you, and it'll be awesome. Just once a month, we're going to hang out, pray for each other, encourage each other in our faith. You need to be built up in your faith, and also you need to get involved in ministry. If you can do both, that's great. We've got out there, listen to all the stuff we have going. Men's ministry, Awana for little children, our deaconess ministry. You can sign up to help with meals, hospitality. You can help at the Connect Center or be a greeter at the church. Trustees with the van, driving vans to pick up Moody students, which we have a whole bunch of Moody students right over here. Hey, Moody students, how you doing? All right, great. Glad you're here. Children's ministry, the nursery, youth ministry, powerhouse and jam, worship with Sean. Hey, are there people in here who can sing? Sean needs more singers in the choir. So see Sean, would you, if you can sing? Let's fill this place up, okay, back here. And let's sing to God's glory. Ushers, seniors ministry, women's ministry, college and career. Very happy about Mike Greenwood, who's volunteered to help with our college and career ministry, which is awesome. So see him at his table. And then we got Pacific Garden Mission with Chris Coster and missions table. We got the Breakthrough Men's Shelter, where we take meals down there and share the gospel. And then don't miss the Breeze Church software table. Be sure and go to that table. Make sure they have their your email so that they can put you into the system so that you can get communication and all the cool, awesome things we're doing to make disciples here. So what happened to Chris and Julie? What happened to Chris and Julie? Chris got involved with the praise band. I started inviting Chris to various events. I invite him to come to youth group, and he shows up at youth group, and he's wearing his Budweiser jacket. I'm like, oh, gee. Oh, man. But I didn't say anything. And the kids, we had a prayer time with our students, and here's Chris sitting here listening to all this. These kids praying for each other, and one of the prayer requests from one of our students was, hey, pray for my dad. He's an alcoholic, and it's really hard right now. Another girl said, yeah, pray for my uncle. He's involved in a bad accident because of someone who was drunk. I didn't say anything. These kids are just sharing their hearts. And here's Chris taking this all in, like, what in the world? The next week, he shows up to help with youth group again. And you know what? He's ripped the label off. I didn't say a word. He tore it off. A few weeks later, he comes up to me and goes, Brad, I got to find a different job. I can't be delivering keggers all over Kalamazoo anymore. I can't do it. Okay, let's pray. And he ended up being the West Michigan area monster beverage. I'm not sure that's better. I don't know. But over time, Chris and Julie's marriage was restored. That's a whole other story I'd love to share with you sometime. Beautiful restoration. They kept getting involved with more ministry. Eventually, Chris was asked to be an elder. Eventually, he was asked to be the associate pastor. He was my first associate pastor at Cherry Creek, the church that we planted. And now Chris is an executive pastor of a thriving ministry in Indiana, doing great. All because a guy received an outreach flyer and came to church one day. To this day, Chris and Julie are some of the dearest friends we have in this world. How do you account for that? How do you explain that? And by the way, I'd like to also remind you this. A long time ago, I also came to a church where I was an insurance guy, minding my own business, selling insurance, making a lot of money. But I was discipled there to such a degree that there was no way I could stay as an insurance guy. But I'd rather be giving away free, eternal assurance to those who need Christ. Maybe as you sit there, maybe God's calling on you, calling on your heart to make the difference. There are many churches that have become ineffective in their ministry as they have lost their vision and mission. But the main thing for us is to keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing by God's grace is to make disciples who make disciples for the glory of God. Our mission is simple. It's very clear. Let's make disciples. Our motive is love. God's chosen method of disciple making is through the church. It's time for all of us to get in the game. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the power of your word and the power of Christ in us. Lord, all of us in this room have a testimony about who you are and what you've done to touch our hearts. Lord, we praise you and thank you for forgiveness, for restoration. We thank you that you paid it all for all of our mistakes, all the silly things that we've done in our lives have been paid for by you. We can finally be free, free from sin. We can finally walk in righteousness and bring glory and honor to your name for who you are and what you've done for us through Christ. Lord, based on that, because of your incredible love for us, we are now compelled to do something about it. To not just sit in the seats and be observers. Lord, help us to be participants in your grace. Help us to be built up in our faith. Help us to be equipped to do ministry, to be sent out to win all the more for your glory. And Lord, may this church be an incredible force in the world for truth, for righteousness. A place where you are glorified and upheld. May we be a people that love not only you, but others. Oh God, help us. We cannot do this in our own strength, but fuel us by your Spirit to be all that we can be as a church. So Lord, help us to enjoy each other in the next few minutes as we move to the gymnasium and we look at all the excitement. But Lord, we don't want to just spin our wheels. We want to make a difference. Use us, we pray, for your glory. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this in your Son's wonderful and awesome name. And all God's people said, amen.